Hello and welcome to Stat News Global. I'm Surya Gangadharan and welcome to my conversation with Alok Bansal on his latest book, Gwadar, a Chinese Gibraltar. This is about how Gwadar could be a threat in the long term to India's maritime security and what India needs to do to ensure that this threat is reduced or diminished.
In this book, we try and bring out that how Gwadar provides China with a vital foothold in the Indian Ocean region. And Gwadar's location vis-a-vis Persian Gulf is akin to Gibraltar's location vis-a-vis Mediterranean. That is actually a power sitting at Gwadar can virtually monitor each and every ship that's entering or leaving Persian Gulf. And Persian Gulf, as you know, in today's day and age, is a vital waterway, as a lot of energy exports take place from this part of the world. And while the United States may have become self-sufficient as far as energy is concerned, but Europe, Japan, China, India, and a host of other countries are still dependent on energy imports. And Persian Gulf plays a vital role, especially for India, because Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Iran are our major sources for energy imports. So this port in long term is going to have a huge impact on the regional dynamics in entirety, and especially as far as India is concerned.
So Gwadar is being talked about for a long time, and it's been seen as a place where there's not much activity that has been reported. What makes you think that things are different now, or could be different going forward?
I agree. What has happened is that the Gwadar port is more or less ready. Let me be very honest with it. The phase one was ready long back. Phase two, also the process is going on. The problem with Gwadar has been, there are of course problems as I brought out. One of the major problems is that as of now, Gwadar does not have a road link through hinterland. As a result, anything that is offloaded at Gwadar has to travel along the coastal way, virtually all the way up to Karachi, just short of Karachi, that the highway turns north and can go to the rest of Pakistan. It does not make economic sense as of now to disembark cargo at Gwadar and take it by road almost all the way to Karachi and take it up. So it doesn't make economic sense. And as a result, the port has still not become economically viable. So what the Chinese and Pakistanis are doing is they are trying to create a road link through the Baloch hinterland. The main aim of Pakistan at one stage was to make it a port of choice for Central Asia. But for that, some amount of stability in Afghanistan is required. But now what they are looking at is that maybe the Central Asian states could ship their goods through Xinjiang in China. And that can be a far more effective way of transporting their goods, because I don't visualize Afghanistan stabilizing in near future.
So Gwadar, location-wise, you would say has been built up by the Pakistani Navy as an alternative to Karachi?
See, when you look at maritime security of Pakistan, post-71, and in fact during 71 war, Pakistan realized that there was a single port country. And Indian Navy effectively blockaded Karachi port.
Yeah.
And they are, like India, are also extremely dependent on imports for vital supplies, including energy. So they realized that one port could even be unavailable due to natural disasters, any man-made issues, and that could have a huge economic cost for the country. So consequently, Pakistan decided to go for a second port. They built another port called Port Muhammad bin Qasim, or Port bin Qasim as it is called. But unfortunately, this Port bin Qasim is also on the same channel as Karachi. Consequently, while it eliminated, it increased the berthing capacity and cargo handling capacity, the vulnerability to blockades or natural disasters remained, because any navy which wants to blockade Karachi could easily blockade bin Qasim without any effective measure. And Indian Navy had shown it even during Kargil conflict. One of the reasons why Pakistan's rushed to negotiating tables was because Indian Navy was mobilized and the two fleets had come together in the North Arabian Sea, which were threatening Pakistan's economic survival. And that's why Nawaz Sharif had to rush to United States seeking intervention. So, but with these two ports, it was very easy. It was virtually a cakewalk for Indian Navy to blockade these two ports because these two ports were also close to Indian coast. So Indian shore-based aircraft could also provide support to Indian Navy in blockading these ports. Now with Gwadar, Gwadar is at the other end. It's almost close to Iranian coast. Now for Indian shore-based aircraft to provide support to Indian Navy there will be very, very difficult. Moreover, the distance between Gwadar and Karachi Bin Qasim is so large that you'll at least require two different task forces to do that. And now, of course, Pakistan has built also a naval base in Urmara in between. So you now have multiple options as far as Pakistan is concerned. You will not be able to bottle up their navy completely like we were able to do in 71, where the navy was completely bottled up inside Karachi port and could not venture out.
Now, given that we have been working on Chabahar port in Iran for some time, how would you compare these two? Does Chabahar give us an edge or does it not?
See, Chabahar and Gwadar are close by. And both have the strategic advantage of location. They are both outside Persian Gulf, but very close to Persian Gulf. So you don't, any ship coming to these ports, that is both Chabahar and Gwadar, need not go through the Strait of Hormuz and doesn't need pilot. Because as you know, when the ships go into narrow waters, they require specialists who come and navigate the ships. That costs them. They have to reduce speed. They have to wait. All this in commercial world costs. You have to stop, wait for the pilot to embark. Pilot takes them to a place. And then there are different pilots for different regions. And then when you go into the narrow confined waters, you have to reduce speed, go at a particular speed. So it increases the time that is taken for a ship to deliver the cargo. And that means cost. Now, these two ports are outside, but close to it. So the cargo can be offloaded here at much lesser cost. And then the same things can be distributed because as of now, Dubai acts as a mother port. From Dubai, the goods come even to South Asia and also go to Persian Gulf region. So you have different things. So that can be. Now, these two ports are similar in almost everything. But as I said, Chabahar is in Iranian territory. Gwadar is in Pakistan. Both are in Baloch territory. Let's be very clear. This is Balochistan. One is Western Balochistan, one is Eastern Balochistan. Both the places, Baloch are fighting against the powers that occupy that land or are in control of that land for their sovereignty. So there is some amount of turbulence. Now for India, we know it very well that Gwadar can never become our port of choice. Pakistan will never allow us a thorough passage to Afghanistan and Central Asia. And as I always said, that Mackinder had said long back, that whoever controls the Eurasian heartland will control the world. So Eurasian heartland is actually a resource-rich region, and India historically had access to that. Unfortunately, because of Pakistan, now that access has been completely cut off. And we have been looking. As of now, we go all the way inside Persian Gulf to Bandar Abbas, disembark our cargo, which again has to travel all the way back to Afghanistan and go to Central Asia. Chabahar for us would have reduced that thing. So whichever port comes up first and starts becoming fully operational with connectivity projects will thrive because it's a winner takes all sort of a situation because if one port comes, then the mega super tankers and super ships will start coming there and disembarking cargoes there. And once they start disembarking cargoes, then infrastructure gets developed and then the other port would become probably economically redundant. So that's the situation. So I won't say that one is better than the other. Both are comparable. Both have fantastic location. And whichever port becomes fully operational with connectivity, because a port operational means just making jetties and harbor.
It doesn't work here.
But in, unfortunately for India and for Iran to some extent, Iran has been under sanctions most of this time.
Yeah.
And though Chabahar has been exempted by US for various things, but it has still been difficult. Because the ships that have to call on there have problems because shipping companies are reluctant to come there. The cranes that have to be installed, the companies are reluctant to deliver the cranes. So these are issues which have actually plagued Chabahar. And what has happened is that in between, Chabahar has two basic ports actually. One of the ports even Chinese have moved.
Yeah.
So as I said, Delhi has its own thing. And Chinese, of course, want to play safe. They want to have stake everywhere so that they are not seen wanting. So not only Gwadar, they have gone to Chabahar and established their position, foothold there also.
And they could at some point even move full-fledged into Chabahar, given our own issues with Iran and sanctions and all that.
Yes, that's feasible. Though at this point of time, we are operating one part of the port. So the port that's been given, we have an operational control. We are operating that port. So we have some presence, and I don't think so. Iranians also would want to put all their eggs in one basket. So that's how it is. But Iran is now part of Belt and Road Initiative. And as I said, Gwadar, when it started, it was a standalone port. Then it became the key component of China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. And China-Pakistan Economic Corridor is one of the major components of Belt and Road Initiative. So the entire Xi Jinping's economic game plan of transforming the globe and Chinese influence through the Belt and Road Initiative to a very great extent hinges on this Gwadar port.
So let's come to that, China's role here. They've been pushing CPEC, which is a part of the BRI, with a strategic goal in mind and an economic goal in mind. And Gwadar also figures in that entire gambit, isn't it?
See, I have always been saying that to Chinese, because Chinese find it very intriguing very often that it's an economic project. Why is India opposed to CPEC? I said, you need to understand that CPEC passes through a territory which, according to China, is a disputed. Because Sino-Pak Agreement of 1963 clearly accepts that this is a dispute. According to Pakistani constitution, is not a part of Pakistan.
Yeah.
And according to Indian constitution, is an integral part of India. So, if you are doing something, you have to ask us. And if you are looking for access, you come, we'll give you an access. You come from Karakoram Pass to Kandla, we'll give you another access. That will be a better route than taking a CPEC, which will never be viable. So, that is my viewpoint. But China does feel that they need an access to North Arabian Sea. There is no doubt that the Western China is underdeveloped. There are, of course, problems there also. The route passes through an area which has remained turbulent and will continue to remain turbulent. The first convoy which passed through CPEC, the security arrangements for that were phenomenal. Actually, the Chinese trucks came all the way up to Sust, which is the first dry port after crossing the pass, Karakoram, in the Karakoram Highway. Then they were unloaded into smaller trucks and then escorted by vehicles, army, a huge amount of security. And with that sort of an arrangement, you can't make CPEC economically viable. And that's been one of the issues, because not only are Baloch very upset about it, because they feel Chinese are helping Islamabad to colonize their land. Even people in Gilgit-Baltistan are opposed to it. And more significantly, in today's Pakistan, there is a very interesting phenomena that any outfit which is fighting the Pakistani government realizes that if you kill 100 Pakistanis, it doesn't affect them.
Yeah.
But you have to target one Chinese to make them sit up and take notice. And as a result, every outfit in Pakistan today, be it Baloch nationalists, be it Sindhi nationalists, be it Taliban, they all are targeting Chinese. And as a result, Chinese personnel and assets require huge amount of security, which is making these projects economically unviable. And that's a very, very
big. Is there a PLA physical presence in Gwadar?
To the best of my knowledge, PLA per se is not present at the moment, though Pakistanis have allocated a land on the northern side of Gwadar, which they have kept for defense. And they want PLA to set up, PLA Navy to come and set up a base there. My interaction with various Pakistani analysts and analysts of repute have already indicated that the primary role of Pakistan as far as Gwadar is concerned, you need to understand, is to somehow involve China in Pakistan's security. So they want that if Chinese come and occupy a land in Gwadar, then they would have a stake in the maritime security of Pakistan, because then obviously a power which is actually blockading Gwadar or attacking Gwadar would be targeting Chinese assets, and that would bring them into the conflict directly. So that has been Pakistan's whole aim as far as this is concerned.
You think the Chinese are willing to play this?
As of now, Chinese have shown their reluctance to do so. Because as of now, Chinese are still not sure whether Gwadar will deliver. Because Pakistan, unfortunately, has not been able to deliver.
Yeah.
Because Baloch have been targeting. Chinese have tried to negotiate directly also with Baloch and pay them off so that the territory, they can use the territory to take their goods through them and ensure some security and safety through their territory. That's been credible reports where says the Chinese have met with Baloch nationalist leadership. So that they are looking at it. But as of now, China is reluctant. But again, Chinese change, as you know. There was a time when Chinese say we are not interested in any bases.
Now
they have a base in Djibouti. So with passage of time, things do change. And Chinese are past masters at that they can transform.
The Chinese are also driven by the need to somehow strategically contain India, and therefore Gwadar is useful?
See, let me be very honest with you. Having interacted with Chinese interests, as far as India are concerned, are very complex. China's primary objective vis-a-vis India is that India should not become an ally of the US.
Okay.
The second is that India should remain contained within the South Asia. It should not try and become a contender for China on the global arena. So these are...
Or even in Asia.
These are two contrasting requirements. And as a result, now, if you leave Galwan, post-Galwan scenario, if you look at pre-Galwan scenario, the Chinese actions were very clear. They would not oppose you directly at an international fora, but use one of these proxies to keep needling you so that you remain embroiled into bilateral issues within the region so as to be posing them a challenge at the macro. But at the same time, they didn't want you to go and sit in US lap. Now, there is a slight transformation in China because there is a significant number of people, analysts within China who feel that India has already become an ally of the US. So, there are divergent views. There are a significant number of people who believe that now there is no point talking to India. It's better you talk to US.
Gloves are off.
But there is still within Chinese foreign ministry and within the strategic community, the so-called strategic community of China, a substantive number which realize that India is too big a country to be an ally of the US and we need to engage with India. So that within there are differences which are actually, there is a jostling of which line to take, and that's happening in China as well.
So when we look at Gwadar, when we look at Chok Phu in Myanmar, Chittagong, we look at Hambantota, all, you know, seemingly white elephantish kind of projects, but they are beginning to make strategic sense.
See, all these are white elephant sort of a projects, but to my mind, again, and I would make it very clear, that Hambantota would not make either strategic or economic sense. Chinese may feel anything. But Sri Lankans are very clear as far as they are concerned. That for us, India would always come first.
Okay.
Irrespective of which regime comes to power in Sri Lanka. That realization is there.
But they still, you know, constantly needle in some way or the other.
Sometimes I feel we also overreact. But Hambantota is a big economic disaster for Sri Lanka. I was in Chengdu just last week. And there the Sri Lankan delegate made it very abundantly clear to a Chinese audience, saying, as far as we are concerned, we want good relations with both. But our priority will always be India, considering our proximity. Similarly, in Bangladesh, as far as Chittagong is concerned, I think as long as Sheikh Hasina and Awami League continue, we are on absolutely safe wicket. But no one is immortal. And in a democracy, nobody can assure victory every time. So that's an issue which we have to deal with. Because let's be very clear, if the government changes, Chittagong will be a very, very small, minor problem. We'll have major problems all over. Yes. So we have to be engaged and we need to ensure that this government, especially the Prime Minister, she continues in power. Or there is an orderly succession which is devised. That's very, very essential as far as Bangladesh is concerned. we also need to have an opposition which is not so irrevocably hostile to India like the BNP of Khalida Zia is. So I think we need to have political parties in Bangladesh which may have their internal differences, but on foreign policy issues are in agreement with India and share our worldview.
So when do you expect the first Chinese aircraft carrier to enter the Indian Ocean?
See, Chinese already have aircraft carriers. Entering Indian Ocean is not a big problem. But operating an aircraft carrier in Indian Ocean for Chinese is going to be difficult. Firstly, we need to understand that unlike India, Chinese aircraft carrier are a recent phenomenon. While you can build an aircraft carrier, you can take off from the aircraft carrier. The process of operating aircraft carrier, the strategy, the tactics require a number of years to master it. And I think Chinese will take some time before they master this art. Bringing an aircraft carrier just for the sake of showing it is feasible anytime. And I think India needs to focus as far as this is concerned, because Indian Ocean is the only ocean named after a country. And we should have the primacy as far as Indian Ocean is concerned. And to that extent, the decision which came in the media, the third aircraft carrier has been approved by the government of India, is a wise decision. One field which has been very weak for us is our shipbuilding speed and capability. We need to bolster it. I think some amount of accountability is required where ships are delivered in time. And I think if we can start building ships fast, then we would be in a position to compete with them. And at the moment, I have no doubts that within Indian Ocean, Indian Navy has definitely got an edge over the PLA Navy. But it is as far as Indian Ocean is concerned, not beyond Strait of Malacca, because they are a different ball game.
So how would you react if tomorrow a Chinese aircraft carrier lands up in Gwadar?
See, I think it would at best have a symbolic value. I think overreaction doesn't matter. If they have come, that's okay. That's their wish. See, warships are free to go. Indian aircraft carrier traverses can go to Japan, can go to any other country. It's a different issue. The only issue Chinese would have if Indian aircraft carrier was to enter Taiwan, then yes, there would be a thing, because that would have a different meaning and implication. But otherwise, even Indian naval ships have been going through the so-called 11-10-9-, which keep increasing. Those lines, and which China claims to be internal waters. So we have been going, and I think we have done a fairly good job. So if Chinese aircraft carrier comes, it will provide us a good opportunity to shadow that aircraft carrier and get vital technical parameters of that ship. Because when ship moves, there are various vital parameters which you actually want. The propeller noise, the radar frequencies, the communication frequencies. The more it comes here, the more it exposes itself. And I think our tech end would be in a position, will have so much of data to decipher thereafter. So it will be a good option. So if they come, I think to my mind, it's better. We'll be able to observe them from close quarters and see how they are operating. What are their processes? We'll be able to understand them even better.
So just to wind up, Gwadar at present may not be a threat to India. It has the potential, assuming CPEC moves forward and is successful, then it could pose a problem. But at the end of the day, the Indian Ocean is India's ocean. And we have the means and the advantage to counter it.
See, there is no doubt that Gwadar Deep Sea Port project, if it succeeds. That's why I said there's a big if it succeeds, has a potential to change the geopolitics. While India is the dominant naval power and we have the potential to dominate the Indian Ocean, but Gwadar will give any maritime power which is occupying it a chance to interfere with Indian shipping emanating from Persian Gulf. Please understand, in the close proximity of the coast, India's superior naval power will not be as effective as it can be in the wide Indian Ocean. So that is an issue, and that's why we need to look at it. We need to ensure that Gwadar Deep Sea Port project is not a success.
Some of the key takeaways from this conversation are, of course, how China has over time developed a network of ports that seemingly lack business or commercial potential, yet have enormous strategic weight. And this is something India needs to prepare for. As Chinese vessels increasingly enter the Indian Ocean and wait for the day when the Chinese nuclear-powered aircraft carrier also enters our littoral waters.